wondering what are Good Friday song and Good Friday passage doing on Easter, but without Good Friday there is no Easter. And now we come to the Easter portion. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 28. For those of you who have the Bibles in front, I'm reading from page 863, Matthew chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. The Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with the fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, and saying, "Rejoice!" And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Truth of old shall not kneel, shall not bend. We'll be reading from John chapter 20, starting in verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Amen.
So, thank you for having me share a little bit. John 12, 23 to 25, or page 932 in the Pew Bible, says, "Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls from the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now, a few thoughts about those verses. Jesus didn't mean that he would be glorified in the eyes of men. That just happened at the triumphal entry. Last week we celebrated Palm Sunday, and Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to show us his humility. The glorification Jesus pointed to here was being glorified on the cross, something that the world could only see as degrading and humiliating. Jesus saw it as being glorified. As for hating our life, we are called to hate our life. This is not in the sense that we think of hate, but in the sense that we freely give it up for God. Morris says, "The man whose priorities are right has such an attitude of love for the things of God that makes all interest in all the affairs of this life appear by comparison as hatred." And if you turn back a few pages to page 920 in the Pew Bible, John 3, 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. in verse 16, we see God did not wait for the world to turn to him before he loved the world. The love we receive among people may fade or turn, but God's love will never change. He will never stop loving his people. And in verse 17, Jesus revealed the heart of the Father is sending God the Son to bring salvation, rescue, hope, and healing to the world through him. And when I share, I like to end with 2 Peter 3:9 to see how much God truly loves us. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter here revealed some of God's glorious heart. God's desire is for everyone to come to him. He is giving us all the chance to repent. So the question I'm going to leave with you on this Easter Resurrection Day is, will you come to Jesus and repent and be risen with the Lord for all of eternity?
Good morning, everybody. I am reading from Luke chapter 24. There are only 24 chapters in Luke, so it's the last chapter in Luke. And I'm going to be starting from verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And they said unto him, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering that, said unto them, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and a word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this today is the third day since all these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so that the woman had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25, And they said unto him, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself.
See him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, He is risen for me. He is risen.
Luke 24, 28 to 35. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and had appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Maybe we could just advance to the next hymn, 339. So that's okay, 339. If you would please rise with me in the room. We will sing two verses together. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Verses 1 and 3 of hymn number 339, our blue hymnal. It's on the screen behind me.
From the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. The bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
Singing, you may be seated. Thank you.
I'll be reading from John chapter 20, picking up at verse 19 through 29. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to them, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Thank you. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 3. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born of due time.
Morning. We're still in 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll be reading in the Chapel Bible, page 996. So, verses 50 to 57, 998, 99. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And could we just look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Our God and Father, we come before thee now, and Father, we are remembering this day the resurrection of thy Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we would come before thee and ask thy word, that thy word, Lord, would sink down deep into our hearts. Oh, Lord, it is only the word that has the power to change us. And so we just pray that as we look at your word, you'll speak to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. He says in verse 50 that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he talks about corruption and incorruption. And when we sit here, we're speaking about victory today, victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection. And we think about how man is made up, what man is made of, body, soul, and spirit. And we would think of our bodies, right? And anyone who's gone and seen someone who has passed away has seen a body in a casket, or some way remembered a person that was alive before. They could think of their body. They could think of all the things, you know, you touch people, you gaze on people, you love people, and there's that connection with the body. And we all know that we have these bodies that we want to take care of. The Bible says we nourish and cherish them. And yet, we know that that's not who we really are. The person inside, our spirit, our soul, you can't really, you know, put a face on it. We know that God knows us. In the quiet of our heart, we know where we are spiritually. We know if we are not in a relationship with God, and we know if we are deeply in a relationship with God. We know those things. And so here, what Paul is saying is that flesh and blood, that is, the way that we come into this world, that's not what's going to inherit the kingdom of God. What's going to inherit it is that which is incorruptible. So he's going to explain himself a little more. I have a lady that I go to visit, and we're in the book of Romans. And she was saying to me, boy, Paul likes to say the same thing five different ways, doesn't he? And he's going to explain what he's saying here about this part of ourselves that is going to be incorrupt. He says, I'm telling you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, that's the King James version of we shall not all die. And this time of the year, we like to think of there are two things that are certain in life. One is death and the other is taxes, right? And he's saying, I want to tell you a secret. We're not all going to die, but we shall all be changed. That person that is in me, right, that spirit I was born with, that needs to be regenerated, needs to be born again, that's going to change, right? When we see the Lord Jesus Christ, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is for believers, right? He's speaking to people who have put their trust in Jesus. They said, Lord, I know what I am. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Lord, save me. And he does that, and he changes us so dramatically inside that when we get to that point where we're before him, we're going to be changed. And Paul says that it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's an interesting word, twinkling there. The word literally is jerk. You know? So I tried to say, well, is that a wink? No, that's not a jerk. Is that a blink? No, that's... It's going to be sudden when the Lord comes and receives us to himself. He says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? And we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's going to be like jerked out of this life and into that kingdom of God, that eternal life. And he says that the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. These are believing dead. They're going to be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. How would it be to wake up in the morning and know, I'm not going to sin today. I'm not going to fail God today. I'm not going to do anything wrong. There was this week a man that I met, and I know it was a divine appointment. And I was going to have my stress test, you know, the nuclear stress test. And there was another man there. And we're sitting there. And he started talking the moment I sat down. I said, I know God wants me to talk to this guy. And he says to me, I've had a quadruple bypass, but that's not why I'm here. He says, I was hit by a car on the side of the road. And they mangled my leg. And, you know, I've had like seven surgeries already, and I have to have another one, but I need clearance. So we're sitting there talking, and he says, you know, people think they've got every day. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, are you preaching to the choir? You think you have every day. But he says, you don't have every day. And I said, that's right. The Bible says that we should number our days, right? Because we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You see, this guy is at a point in his life where he's finally seeing that he can't count on tomorrow. And that's where we are here, looking at the resurrection. We need to be right with God today so that when that trumpet sounds, we're going to go be with him. Now, I know that can sound an awful lot like a fairy tale, right? But as we were reading here before, there were disciples that saw the Lord. We were reading in the Bible that there were ladies at the tomb that saw the Lord. We were reading that there were two on the way to Emmaus that saw the Lord. We were reading that Peter saw the resurrected Lord, and James saw the resurrected Lord, and 500 people altogether saw the resurrected Lord. The resurrection is not a fairy tale. And Jesus said that because I live, you who believe in me, you also are going to live. You're going to be resurrected. Job asked the question, if a man dies, will he live again? Right? And he answers the question a little later. He says, I know that in my own flesh, with my own eyes, I will see the Lord. Right? He's looking for that day, expectantly. There is a victory in what Jesus did. He didn't just come and heal a lot of people and love a lot of people and make everybody feel good. That isn't why he came. He came so that we might have life and have it abundantly, and that we might have his life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and that that life would go on forever. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Right? That's what we're looking for. That's what we say when we're looking at the resurrection. What power? I was thinking this week, you know, watching those astronauts blast off in Artemis 2, right? I don't know if you were thinking the same thing, but I was praying, Lord, don't let that rocket blow up. I'm just thinking, you know, they're going up. They said there's 90 million pounds of thrust, right? And that this thing gets up to 17,000 miles per hour. And I'm thinking, when I drive 80 miles per hour, I confess, you know, I feel like I can't go any faster. 17,000 miles per hour in a little capsule sitting on top of a rocket, right? Hurtling through space. What power? You know, that's nothing compared to the power to raise someone from the dead. You know, why are we so upset when we see someone die? Because we know we can't do anything to bring them back. But God can. That's what the resurrection is about. Today, we are those who are looking for victory. You know, Paul can even quote the Old Testament prophet, O death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Well, you know, because of sin, we're all going to die. The sting of death is sin. The thing that makes us die is sin. The soul that sinneth shall die. The wages of sin is death. Right? It's because we sin, we die. And the strength of sin is the law. The law told us, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. All those laws that make our sin exceedingly sinful. It's against God that we've sinned. God set out his law, we broke his law, and now he says we need him because the law is broken. That's the strength of sin, that God gave a law, and now we have no excuse. However, that's not the end. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That what he did on the cross of Calvary is more powerful than Artemis II rocket. It's more powerful than anything in the universe. It's more powerful than love. It's the power of God in his son, Jesus Christ. And it says in the Bible that one day he is going to be honored in our midst, and every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God is going to get glory, more glory than if it had never happened. I have a friend that I walk with, and he says to me, I can't understand this. Why does God make this whole thing happen? You have to go through all of this redemption stuff. He says, why would God do that? Right? I said, well, you can ask him someday. But I think it's because he gets more glory. Jeffrey was telling us before that when Jesus was lifted up, he was glorified. That's when he was glorified. The world said, oh, this guy must have been some kind of criminal. Right? And God looks on his son and he said, his name is exalted above every name because he went so low. The one who went so low. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of that, God has also highly exalted him. So this morning, as we think of the resurrection, we're thinking of victory. We're thinking of eternal life. We're thinking of the future. We're thinking of what God has done in Jesus Christ. And this morning, we cast ourselves on him. We just give him thanks. Let's I wonder if we could go to that hymn, number 323, Christ the Lord is risen today. We have a moment here. And we'll stand in closing, number 323. Let's sing verses 1 and 4 of number 323, Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, raise your joy and triumph high. Sing, O heavens, and earth reply, Alleluia. Praise God.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing, O heavens, and earth reply, Alleluia.
Verse 4.
Soar we now where Christ has led, Alleluia. Bowing our exalted head, Alleluia. Made like him we rise, Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies, Alleluia.
Our Heavenly Father, we just identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, we died on the cross. Oh God, when he was buried, all of our sins were buried. When he rose from the dead, we rose with him. And Lord, one day, we're looking for a day soon, when the shout will come and we will be forever with the Lord. Praise God. We just give thee thanks in the name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.